Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and God, amen. So before I get to the sermon and the gospel today, I want to ask you a question. Simple question, but an important question. The question's up there that you see on the screen. If I were to ask you a question, take a survey here, and say, all the people here who want to see God, who want to see the Lord. We've been doing this Seeking His Face campaign, and the whole goal is to seek His face and to see His face. We said the theme for the new year is to focus on His presence and experience the presence of God. And if I said, how many people here want not just to pray today, but want to see the Lord today? And how many people not just want to attend liturgy today, but want to see God Almighty today? I think many hands would go up in the air. But before you raise your hand, and before you answer too quickly, hold that thought for just a second. And let me ask you a different question. The readings today had a very clear theme to them. Okay, and if you missed it, then you must not have been listening. Because sometimes it's hard to see the theme, and sometimes the theme hits you upside the head. And the theme today of the Catholic Epistle and the Pauline Epistle, and the Acts we'll see a little bit difficult later, but those two epistles is very clear. Those two epistles spoke about what topic? Not one person was listening to the reading of the Pauline Epistle, the Catholic Epistle. Come on, it wasn't hidden. Yeah, we're talking about the end of the world, right? I get you a verse here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1 was the first verse that was read today in the reading, the first verse of the Pauline Epistle. It said, now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him. And then he goes on to the rest. We read the whole chapter of 2 Thessalonians 2, which talks about when the Antichrist is going to come and the son of perdition is going to do this and then the falling away that and then the sun this and then the moon that. And then we read 2 Peter chapter 3, which again talked about the end of the world is going to come and what's going to look like in 1,000 years as a day and a day 1,000 years. And all the epistles, both of them, talked about the end, the end, the end, the end. Or put another way, of the coming of the Lord. What's another term for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? I would say Judgment Day is what the topic was. So now let me go back and ask you the question that I asked you a little bit ago. Who wants to see the Lord? Who wants to meet the Lord today? Realize this. What is Judgment Day? Judgment Day is not a day 5,000 years from now. Judgment Day is not even a day at the end of your life. Judgment Day is very simple. It's when the judge walks in the room and you stand face to face with the judge. That's your Judgment Day. Don't think that Judgment Day is when you die. And don't think that Judgment Day is at the end of this world. Judgment Day is when you come face to face with the judge and there's no one in the room except you and him. And here we are praying, Lord, we want to see your face. And here we are coming to church, and Lord, we want to receive you. And here, Lord, we want to meet you, and we want you, and we want you, and we want you. Are you sure? Be careful what you ask for, because you just might get it. Today's gospel was about a man, a sorry man. A man who was sick, paralyzed man, 38 years. And this man saw the Lord this day. And this man had his judgment day today. And unfortunately, it didn't go very good for him. You guys know the story of this man. Man was he was paralyzed for 38 years, lying by the pool of Bethesda with a whole bunch of sick and miserable people all around him. This man, okay, just so you understand the character of this man had been sick for 38 years despite living in a place of healing. This man had been sick for 38 years despite living in a place of healing. Tells you a little bit about who this guy is. Our Lord Jesus Christ comes to this guy this day, full of love, full of compassion, says, man, you can't make it to the healing? Well, I got good news for you. The healer's going to come to you. Man, oh man, chance of a lifetime. All the other sick people didn't get this chance. All the other sick people had to push and fight and claw their way to get in the pool. This man had not just a doctor come to him, not just medicine come to him, but the one who invented doctors and medicine come to him. The one who can do no wrong, ever, came to him. Love, compassion, grace, mercy, everything came to him. And he gave this guy the best thing in the world that he could have asked for. We'll read just some verses from the gospel. He healed the man. It says, immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked, and that day was the Sabbath. This man had the chance of a lifetime right here. This man had the great physician himself come and touch him, heal him, even though he didn't even ask for healing and he didn't even know healing was a possibility. And he found healing this day. What a great story this is. I wish the story ended right here. Because if the story ended right here, we could imagine what the rest of it was. But unfortunately for us, the story doesn't end right here. After this man got this great healing, what does he do next? Well, later on in the story, the Jews come and ask him, "Who is it that healed you?" And look what his response is. It tells us what he did next. Verse 13. They asked him, "Who is it that healed you?" It says, "But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place." What happened? Who healed you? Here's this paralyzed man, sick for 38 years, all of a sudden gets healed. He's like, "I can walk and I can dance and I can sing and I can this. Hey, that's great, buddy. Who did that for you?" That's a good question. What was his name? You're the guy with the hair? What was that? Who? You don't know who did it? No, it's... He didn't know who did it. If you're Jesus, how you feel right now? If you're the judge, how you feel right now? Jesus, though, full of compassion, full of mercy, full of grace, let the guy go. He said, "Okay, Malish." And even though he's full of excuses, and this man is full of sin, and this man took the healing and didn't even ask me my name, "Malish, it's okay. I let him go. I'll go find him." And the Bible says, verse 14, the next verse, that because the boy didn't want to go find Jesus, Jesus went and go find him. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." Jesus comes to him and says, "Look here, man. Look here. I didn't have to heal you. I healed you. You sat by the pool of healing and you didn't once make any efforts, and you full of sin and you full of excuses, and I came to you anyway. That's okay. I let it go. But don't do it again. Don't sin anymore. Appreciate what you've been given." What's the man's response? "Thank you. Tell me who you are. Tell me who the Messiah is. Tell me how this healing happened." What's the man's response? Look at that next verse, verse 15. The man departed. And you know what? If it just said the man departed, that would be bad enough. But he adds on top of bad enough, worse. Not only did he depart, look what he did. He goes and causes problems. The man departed and told the Jews it was Jesus who made him well. And for this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath. Not only don't say thank you, go get me in trouble, go make problems for me, go tell the bad guys on me and they try to kill me now, after I try to do this for you. Let me ask you a question. This sorry man, this man, who the church tradition teaches us that this man never repented, never became a follower of Christ, was only an outside kind of a thing, but he never got on track where he needed to be. This man, when's his judgment day? When he dies? Tell me, this man is waiting for his judgment day to come? I'm telling you, this man had his judgment day. He had his day in court. He faced the judge. The judge pleaded with him. The judge pleaded with him. And he rejected the judge. Tell me, when's his judgment day? The world can be another 50,000 years. His judgment day is done. He faced the judge. And I don't think there's anyone here who can say that the judge rejected him. What we can say is he rejected the judge. All of today's readings were focused on judgment. And really, unfortunately, on missed opportunities in judgment. I know you guys weren't here during the matins reading in the morning. But the matins reading was from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 21. It's a parable that the Lord told about a man who had a vineyard. And it says, "There was a certain landowner who planted a vineyard and set a hedge around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a tower. And he leased it to vine dressers and went into a far country. Now when vintage time drew near, he sent his servants to the vine dressers that they might receive its fruit. And the vine dressers took his servants, beat one, killed one, and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did likewise to them." A man has a farm, or a vineyard, or a plantation, or whatever. Okay? Me, let's say I have a farm. And I love my farm so much, and I dig the stuff. And I fertilize. And I put the lime stuff. and I put the seed, and I water, and I fertilize, and I pull out the thorns, and I'm caring and caring and caring, and I build a fence around it, and I put a little sun lamp thing, and I do the sprinkler system, and I'm doing all this stuff for my little thing, and then I gotta go travel. So I get two of my friends, and I say, look here, guys, you guys got nothing to do in life. Come here to my house, live in my house, eat my food, drink my soda, sleep in my bedroom, watch my TV, take care of, swim in my swimming pool, do anything you want. The house is yours. All I'm asking you is take care of the stuff. And then when the fruit brings money, if it brings $100, just send 50 to me. That's it. Live in the house, do what you want, eat what you want, just send me half or whatever portion of the proceeds that comes from my garden that I planted and I built anyway. And then they don't send the money. So the owner, me, I say, you know what? Maybe they forgot. Send them a letter in the mail. No response. You know what? Maybe the mailman put it in the wrong box. Send him an email. No response. Maybe internet went down. Call them on the phone. They don't return my voicemail. Maybe I'm full of love. Okay? And I even know those are wicked. I'm full of love and say, you know what, Malish? Maybe it was they got busy and their phone got disconnected. So you know what? I'll send a messenger. Messenger goes. They beat the messenger. Say, maybe they didn't recognize the messenger. Send another messenger. They stone that messenger. Maybe they didn't recognize the two of them together. Send a few of them in together. And they kill. And they beat them again. So finally, what do? Say, maybe they didn't recognize any of those guys. Maybe if I send my own son. I'm sure it's an honest mistake. Let me send my son. I'm sure that will solve the problem. The story goes on. Look what it says. Then last of all. Keyword, last of all. Last of all, he sent his son to them, saying, they will respect my son. But when the vine dressers saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and seize his inheritance. So they took him, cast him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those vine dressers? Anyone not know the answer to that question? When the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those vine dressers? What would I do to them fools who was living in my house under my stuff and killed my servants and then killed my son? What would happen to them? Their judgment is done. Don't tell me that we're going to sit and discuss together. That judgment is done. They had their judgment day. They had the opportunity of a lifetime. They not only had me preaching to them, they had living in my house, they living off my fruit, they had everything. And they rejected. Don't tell me the owner rejects the renters. Don't tell me that. Who rejected who in this situation? Any of these servants would live for another 100 years. Their judgment was done. Another story. Acts of the Apostles. I know it was a tricky story. I give you permission to not understand the Acts. It was tricky. The reason why it was tricky is because it was in the middle of a chapter, and it actually was a continuation of last week's Acts of the Apostle. So if you kind of put them together, you get the complete picture. And it was a story of one time when St. Paul stood on trial. Near the end of his life, Acts chapter 26. He stands before a man named Agrippa, who's a king. Another guy named Festus. And this Agrippa guy, basically the people said, we want to kill this Paul guy. And he said, okay, well, let's slow down here. Let's see what's wrong with the guy. And he says, give the guy his day's court. So the guy comes, and St. Paul pleads his case. And St. Paul, ever so eloquently, speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ, his life, his death, his resurrection, ascension, speaks ever so eloquently about the prophecies, and he does a great job of convincing this man about the gospel of salvation. He gives him everything in a nutshell, face to face. And then look at the saddest verse in the Bible. The saddest verse in the Bible takes place right here, Acts 26, verse 28. Then Agrippa said to Paul, you almost persuade me to become a Christian. What's the saddest word in that verse? Almost. Agrippa, you're convinced. You know. Almost. This is your judgment day, man. Like, that's it. That's it for Agrippa. Agrippa's done. Agrippa had a chance. A great chance. Well, he wasn't reading St. Paul's letters like we read it. He had St. Paul face to face. And St. Paul could have made him his disciple. We could be reading, he could have been the next Timothy. He could be reading the book of St. Paul to Timothy and St. Paul to Agrippa. He could have been a disciple. He could have been a believer. He could have been the best. Agrippa, you missed it. What happened to Agrippa? Is Agrippa waiting for judgment day? Agrippa's judgment day is done. He came face to face with the Lord, or the messenger of the Lord. And who rejected who? Our Lord Jesus Christ says in the Gospel of St. John, two places, John chapter 9, John chapter 12. First, John 9:39, Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind." Why does Jesus say, "I have come to judgment into this world"? Because judgment is not condemnation. Judgment is meeting the judge. And in every one of the examples that we talked about today, the judge didn't reject the people rejected the judge. John chapter 12, verse 31. He didn't say that in 5,000 years is the judgment day. He said now is the judgment of this world. Now the rule of this world will be cast out. Why now? Because I'm here right now, and you're here right now, and you're in front of me, and now is your judgment day. Now is your chance, or your time, not for me to make a judgment on you, as we sometimes think. Now is your chance to make a judgment on me. I asked you in the beginning, who wants to see the Lord? I want you to think about that question again. Who's ready to meet the Lord today? Be honest. Every one of us, it would be great if God wrote in the clouds my name and spoke to me today. That's great. And that's nice and that's pretty and that's fluffy and that's whatever. When Jesus comes, He comes for judgment. That's what He says. Not my words. It's not my words. He says, "I came into this world for judgment day." I know the message sounds harsh. I know it sounds harsh. But believe me, it's not a harsh message. It's a message of love. If a teacher tells a student, "There's a test next week. There's a test next week. When I walk in the classroom, there is a test." Why is the teacher doing that? Because he wants a student to fail? Because he wants a student to be miserable? It's the opposite, because he wants a student to pass. And this message that the Lord is giving us today isn't a harsh message. Believe it or not, it's a very loving message. I didn't even realize it, okay, but as I was just listening from right there right now, the psalm that was read during the gospel, I didn't even realize it when I was preparing this, the psalm that was just read, and you remember it? Said, "He loves mercy and judgment." That was the psalm that was just read right now. He loves mercy and judgment. Look here. The paralyzed man, the vineyard owner guys, dresser guys, the Agrippa guy, all of them face to face with God, had their judgment day, and they rejected. Why? If you're the paralyzed man, what's your focus? On the healer or the healing? Your focus is on the fruit of the vine that the Son is coming to take, or your focus is on the vine owner guy himself? Believe me, judgment is not far away from us. Don't let anyone tell you that judgment day is far away. Judgment day is today. Because today is the day that you come. Why we come here to church? Sing nice songs. Enjoy nice time together. Enjoy the beautiful parking lot. Fight for parking space. Why do we come here today? We come to see the Lord. And if you didn't come to see the Lord, you're in the wrong place. Because this is where He is. If you came for another reason, I don't know why you came. We come here to see the Lord. And if you come here to see the Lord, are you ready to see Him? Are you ready to see Him? Paralyzed man wasn't ready to see Him. The vine dresser guys weren't ready to see the Son. Agrippa wasn't ready to see St. Paul. I hope we're ready to see Him, because He's here. Because if you want to know We oftentimes talk about the end of the world. When's the end of the world? And we say, oh, we don't know. No one knows when the end of the world is. No, I know when the end of the world is. I know exactly when it is. I know when the judgment day, the end of the world is. Because our Lord Jesus Christ told us. And it's in the very, very end of the Bible, in the very, very last section, last chapter of the last book. He tells us exactly when he's coming. I'm coming quickly. So if you want to say, when's my judgment? It's quick. When's it going to happen? Quickly. When should I be ready? You need to be ready quickly. Because this is the one thing that the Lord says is going to happen quickly. But look, when he talks about him coming quickly, it's not in wrath, and it's not in punishment, and it's not in condemnation. It's like he says there, behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give everyone according to his work. Believe me, when the Lord said, I want to come to give you the judgment day, it's because I got a bunch of candy in my pocket, and I want to come and see a big A-plus on your paper so I can just throw the Chuck E. Cheese tokens on you and throw the money on you and throw the candy on you and hug you and kiss you and wrestle you to the ground and buy you a car and a bike and a toy and a whatever. That's why he's coming, to reward us. And even if you were paying attention to the Catholic Epistle, it said sometimes the Lord is not slack concerning a promise, but is long-suffering. He slows down so that all would come to repentance. He slows his coming saying, because he's trying to get us all to get that reward. All of Lent has been judgment day. A Samaritan woman had judgment day last week, and it was the best day in her life. Judgment came before, and she responded with submission and humility and repentance, and her life was never the same. Prodigal son had judgment day 2 weeks before that, and he repented, and his life was never the same. Next week, we're going to talk about born blind man who had judgment come before him and touch him in the face. And this man was a believer and a follower for the rest of his life, and his life was never the same. Judgment day is not far away. It's time for us to respond. You choose who you're going to respond like. The paralyzed man or all the other characters that I just mentioned. Glory be to God forever. Amen.